Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. As we come before you this morning, we recognize that in ourselves, Lord, we're insufficient to do this work. And so, Lord, we ask for fresh mercy. I look to you for fresh mercy and unction under the covering of my fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, to be able to minister your word. That I will minister and your word will come forth as a word of life. Lord, a word of encouragement. Let the word be backed with power so that as it goes forth, Lord, it will go in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, and it will accomplish an eternal work so that our wills be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as the word goes forth, let yokes be broken, let burdens be lifted, let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, let your joy be renewed in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we will be able to run and leap, Lord, and do your will with joy and unity in the name of Jesus. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, Lord, as a scribe instructed to the kingdom. Help me, Lord, not to speak of myself, but to seek your glory and the honor of my fathers. So that, Lord, there will be no unrighteousness in me, and the word will be a pure word that will bring blessing to my brethren and glory to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. That I will not say unnecessary things, Lord, but I will say only those things that you put and have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, it's a great privilege for me to stand before you this morning. And I'd like to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, without whom I would definitely not be here. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you for your unceasing prayers. Thank you for your impeccable example. Thank you for your pure word that has changed us and is still changing us. And our prayers that you will see the travail of your soul over us all and you'll be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And the last time we were in this book, we looked at chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. And we saw that God has a prophetic calendar that he's executing in the third day. And we explained that the third day is the third day from the birth of Christ, or the seventh day from the creation of Adam. And we saw that it's a 1,000-year period. 2 Peter 3:8 says that a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And we saw that, so it's a 1,000-year period that began around about 1996, because the Lord Jesus Christ was not born in 0 BC. He was born about 4 BC. So it began about 1996. So we are well into that day, really. You know, on a 1,000-year scale, we spent about 30 years, you know. So it's, the day is dawning now. It was night, because the day of the Lord begins at night. And now we're coming to the morning time when God is going to reveal his glory in the church. And that's what we saw the last time we're here. And this has been declared all through the Bible. Look at Hosea, you look at Haggai, you look at Ezekiel. Even the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew spoke extensively, you know, the book, all through the Gospels, extensively about the end time. So we know that God has set in the church, you know, holy prophets and apostles that have the understanding of the times and know what Israel ought to do. And they declare it. And then it is our own responsibility to believe what they declared and align our hearts with the word so that we can experience the fullness of what God has in store. And in the recent time, when I say recent now, we're talking about maybe last 60, 70 years, we're talking about men like E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, you know, we're talking about S.G. Elton, and that brings us even to our own spiritual fathers who've been teaching this since 1990s, you know, have been teaching all these prophetic truths. So they're showing us what the church should be doing. And the day of the Lord really is made up of seven events. I didn't say this the last time, and the Lord said I should say it, you know, so that you, at least we have an understanding. Of course, if you go to Foundation of Faith classes, you will get a full teaching about this. So we're not going to a detailed teaching, but we'll just mention the seven events so we know the order of what God is doing. And the first thing God is doing is the perfection and the tribulation of the church. Amen? All right? No, the Bible says through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom. Bible says the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. So the same way Jesus was made perfect through tribulation, we also have been made perfect through tribulation. So it's worth looking at. Amen? It's worth looking forward to, because out of it will come the perfection and the glorious church that God has prophesied and declared in Ephesians chapter 5. When he said that he might sanctify, you know, and wash up with washing of water by that might present it a glorious church. Right now the church is not glorious, but wait and see. You're going to see a glorious church by the time God is done. Amen. All right. So that's what we're in. That's where we're in now. And after that, with the glory of God, Bible says, after the glory, he will now send me to the nations, comes world evangelism. No, so we declare the world, no, for a witness. We demonstrate the kingdom, not just to teach it, but to demonstrate it with power. The same way Moses went to Pharaoh and demonstrated, said, let my people go. And he had power to demonstrate, and Pharaoh had to let them go. It's the same way that we're going to demonstrate the kingdom for a witness in every ethnos. Every tribe, every tongue. Amen? That's the next one. And then after that comes the rapture. So the rapture is not first. We should stay rapturable, but the rapture is not happening anytime now. Amen? Tell them, but stay rapturable. But it's not happening anytime now. All right? We have to go over the nations and do the work of God. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is waiting for us. Amen? And we are going to do it in Jesus' name. With the glory, because that's more effective. So we open up the nations, the ones that are closed down, we open up by the power of the glory. But the King of glory is at the head of us. And the Bible says, who is the King of the Lord, strong and mighty? So the nations will open up. All right, and that's when we have the rapture. The Bible talks about the man-child in Revelation 12:5 being caught up to the throne of God. Now, this church escapes the next event, which is the Great Tribulation. Now, the Great Tribulation is a very intense 7-year period of intense persecution, you know, by the Antichrist against the church. You don't want to be here, and you're not going to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. But that's why you need to go first flight. All right. And so that's during that 7-year period. Of course, again, God has witnesses, so there's going to be two witnesses, you know, and in the middle of the Great Tribulation, you know, the Antichrist will kill the two witnesses, and then they will rise after 3.5 days, you know, they'll be raised up and they'll be raptured. Them and 144,000 Jews. No, I'll go, those details, again, you can get from foundation class. But that's the... So there is a mid-tribulation rapture. There is a pre-tribulation rapture, which is the man-child. There is a mid-tribulation, which is the woman. And there is the post-tribulation, which is the remnant of our seed. So at the end of the tribulation, with the battle of Armageddon, where the nations, the Antichrist, will gather nations together to attack Israel, then we come... who went first, like, will come with Jesus, come and deliver Israel. Amen. And that's your destiny in Jesus' name. All right. So we come, and the fire comes from heaven, and they're destroyed. So we come down, and all that. And then there's a group of saints that are raptured around that time. You know, those that remain that somehow escaped the Antichrist, didn't take his mark, you know, and all that. And the God preserved them from the tribulation. But you don't want to be around for that. Why do you want to go through that? There is an easier route. So we take the easier route. Amen? All right. Okay. So after the Great Tribulation comes the millennial reign of Christ. Satan is locked up in the bottomless pit, you know, for 1,000 years. And we have a tremendous time of peace, of righteousness and order in all the earth. Amen? All right. And then, of course, he judges nations based on how they related to Israel in the Great Tribulation. But then we establish that millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And then towards the end, again, Satan is released. Again, some people follow the devil. We will not follow the devil in Jesus' name. Some people follow the devil. And then we now come finally God comes and destroys all the enemies of God. And then we have the great white throne judgment, where Christ now judges all those who did not qualify to be resurrected pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. They now are resurrected at this time for the great white throne judgment. They are judged and they're given rewards. It's mainly sinners, you know, but there will be some Christians, because during the millennial reign, while we are reigning with glorified bodies, say amen, and some people will have natural earthly bodies, you know, and then they will die, and they will now be qualifying for their own judgment at that time and all that, okay? And after that, the great white throne judgment, they will now have the eternal kingdom of God. And that doesn't have any period. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. All right? And that, so you really want to live your life with that understanding, because it's, you know perfectly. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians verse 5. So you don't have anything that's right to verse 2. That you know perfectly just means completely. You have an epignosis, a complete knowledge of what, which is what under the covenant of our fathers, as our fathers have taught us over the years, and just told you now, these seven events in sequence, you know, of what God is going to do. Amen. So what does this, what should we be doing now in this season of tribulation and perfection? The Bible says that we should be cultivating an attitude of godly fear and reverence. And we saw this in Jeremiah chapter 30 in verses 7 to 9. Let us turn there very quickly. Jeremiah 30, 7 to 9. Quick. Thank you. Alas, I can't hear you, brother. Let's read together. Alas, for that day is great. It's your great day, amen. For so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. I'm going to be saved. We're going to be saved out of it. It's a great day. I know that it's also a dark day. But your portion is not darkness. Your portion is light. Amen. And so it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will what? Break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Say amen. 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 So the church will because of the church will now take a dominant role. That transition between the church that is subservient and the church that is ruling is in this day. Is in this day. Okay, let's look at next verse. All right, and God is breaking yokes, he's breaking bands, he's setting people free. So that's why we need to cultivate that attitude of reverence and fear. And says, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Okay, all right, we'll see that. So this attitude is extremely important, this attitude of fear. Because it's that attitude that God needs to connect us to spiritual kings. The Bible talks about kings on Zion's holy hill. So there are kings through whom God is ensuring that the church will get sufficient mercy and grace. We saw that the last time, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. We're not going to turn there because of time, but you can see that the Bible says that they are the two olive trees out that discharge oil. That's all the type of the life of God, the type of the power of the Holy Spirit that is coming out to cause the saints of God to have sufficient, that's the key word, sufficient mercy and grace to be able to obey spiritual instruction, have spiritual light, and so escape the corruption that is coming against the world. Amen. And the end result of that is that the church, we must be spiritually awake and sober. I said that in verse 6, that we must be awake. And so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Amplified. Let's read together. Say, accordingly then. Yeah, say it with faith. Accordingly then, let us not sleep as the rest do. But let us what? Keep wide awake, alert, watchful, cautious, and on our guard. And let us be sober, that's the word, calm, collected, and circumspect, with an eye on detail. Amen. And God is going to deliver us and fulfill all of his will in and through us, as he has spoken in Jesus' name. Now we see that those who reject this warning and don't, They say, no, it's a time of peace and safety. We can do what we like. You know, that we don't need to do that. That's unnecessary. You know, and all that. And, you know, God has paid all that for us. We don't need to do that. We don't need that discipline. The Bible says that they bring sudden severe judgment upon themselves. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we now move on to verse 8. Let's read it. Give us verse 8, please. Thank you. Give it to me in the King James first. Thank you. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So he says, let us. So it's an act of our will. We need to put on the whole armor of God. That's what he's talking about here. We must put on the whole armor. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 13. It's extremely important to be able to escape that day. God has made provision, but now we must use it. Let's read together. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God is not, we're not going to fall in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter how dark it gets, because the provision to stand has been made available. Amen. I'm going to use it in Jesus' name. All right. So it's an armor. This armor is an armor of life and light and love. So you see some scriptures says armor of love. In some scriptures it says armor of light, like in Romans in chapter 13. Let's look at that in the Message Bible. Romans chapter 13 from verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans 13. Thank you. Let's read it together. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. We must not be oblivious to God. Don't let your daily activities swarm your mind and your time. Two things, our mind, let's say our mind, and our time. That's how to stay sober. You need to make sure that you prioritize your time. You tithe your time. You give God 2.4 hours. That is the tithe of 24. 2.5 hours every day. And you 1 hour for good morning Jesus, praying. You know, another hour for, you know, making sure that you do all the personal prayers that you need to. 1 hour every day to cover for the entire week. The areas of our lives that we should be covering, our family, our work, spiritual growth and development. And then the remaining 30 minutes, make sure you do your Bible reading and Bible study, you know, of the Bible reading, you know, that's your tithe. Then your offering, Bible study. Then, you know, your offering, you watch and pray all throughout the day. Bible says, make sure. Don't let those things take those pockets of time. They must be set. And then you build your life around that. You don't put God, God is not an addition to your schedule. So that when it's possible, then I fit God in. If it's not possible, God understands. No, God is the center. He is the center that holds. If it looks like he cannot hold, make him the center. And watch my God be your God. He will rise up and bear it up and give you wisdom. What you said, it would take 2 hours, it would take 30 minutes. And you do it effectively. Then you understand that when you put God, Bible says, seek ye first, and other things shall be added. So that's the order. Amen? All right, so we see that. Next verse, verse 14, quickly. I'm just going to go through this. You know, so what I'm trying to say here is this, that this armor is an armor of life. Okay, so we were in Message Bible in verse 11. We've done it, verse 11. Verse 12. Go to verse 12. Thank you. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. It's actually breaking. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. When you first believed, he wants to end it now. Next verse. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around anticipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. These are things that take away our time. frivolity, indulgence, sleeping around, you know, grabbing everything inside, covetousness. It takes your time. Wow, come, luring us away. You will not be lured in Jesus' name. Say, get out of bed. He's talking to some people here today. Get out of bed and get dressed. Put on your garments. Life in the mortal flesh. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. I will do it. I will do it. Procrastination is the thief of time. And Satan uses it. You will do it later. And don't worry, sleep now, sleep out. You will pray later. God understands. No, God does not understand. I mean, once, occasionally, yes. But now a systematic thing, God does not understand that. Waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves well in Christ. And be up and about in love. Amen. So that's what he's talking about. So this is talking about, this armor is a spiritual armor. And it's spiritual forces coming out of your spirit that keep our hearts with a certain kind of attitude. So it is all attitudes, this armor. Even though Paul here, you know, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, is using a Roman soldier's apparel. You know, because the Roman soldiers wore certain items of clothing when they were going to go into war. So he's using this to depict, you know, the equivalent of the same spiritually, but the spiritual forces. So let's look at them now. Ephesians chapter 4 now, verse 14, quickly. 6:14, thank you. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breast of righteousness. These are two attitudes. The first one is attitude of honesty. Honesty of heart that brings the mercy of God. And that one is the key, because it's the one that enables you to put on all the other items of the armor. Very important, okay? The next one is the breastplate of righteousness. That's an attitude of right standing. So your confidence is not in your own right doing. It is in the right standing Jesus gave you by his own right doing. By his death and burial and resurrection, he made us righteous. So that is the source and the basis of our righteousness. It's the beginning of righteousness. And it gives us access to the life of God. So we can receive life by. So it gives us access to the grace of God. So the first one gives us access to the mercy of God. The second one gives us access to the grace of God. Yeah? Next verse, quickly. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this is talking about an attitude of meekness and lowliness of heart. You are determined to walk in peace. Bible says, as much as lies within you, be at peace with all men. So you are determined to walk in peace. That means you must be meek to those in authority. You must those over you, and then of course, even those that are below you, you show them respect and meekness. You submit to the will of God, even when it's not convenient for you or makes you lower than you think you are. It's an attitude. You know, you are unoffendable. Nothing can stop you. You refuse to you know, you exercise, and it's an exercise. It's an attitude. You exercise that attitude. And there are times when these things come against us, and we put up that attitude to make sure that we don't fall. Amen. Next verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And it's very important in this day, a shield of faith, because what does it do? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all the imaginations, the questions, the suppositions. Satan is always asking, are you sure? Did God say? Even up to this time? Haba, do you think anything can still happen again? Don't you quench all those fiery doubts. But it's a force coming out there. It just swallows up those things. No, and makes them numb, makes them inactive, makes them ineffectual against you. So it's an attitude of faith, you know, faith in the faithfulness of God, faith in believing the best of people. That's also part of the faith. Believing in the God, in God that called you, and then believing that there is God in the people around you. It's very important. So when people make mistakes, you know, you deliberately be ready to believe the best. You know, even though you deal with them with wisdom, but you're ready to believe the best. That's very important. Next verse. Now, these five items. Oh, okay, this is the fifth one. All right. You take the helmet of salvation. Now, with this helmet is the hope. It's a threefold hope. It's a hope of the resurrection and the glory of God. The Bible says there is one glory of a celestial, but there's another glory of a terrestrial. What we have is terrestrial, but we have not seen the celestial yet. Amen? So there is a hope. The kind of body that Jesus had is available for you. I mean, of course, there are levels, but that the Bible talks about the fact that we receive the reward of a glorified body after the resurrection. So that is a hope you set in front of. And that's for eternity. It's not for 2 years. It's forever. It's forever. Amen? All right? So that hope is there. Then there's hope of the perfection of the love of God in this life with all the attendant blessings. The Bible says they will spend their days in prosperity, spend their years in pleasure. So, I mean, that hope of perfection is Colossians 1, 20, 27 and 28. That hope that Christ will be manifest in you in fullness with the glory of God. That hope. You hold on to that. Okay? And then you now hold on to the hope of promise of his life. So when the ones on promise of his life don't come, you still have two out of the three hopes standing solid. So you are unshakable. That's the purpose. That's why we're unshakable. We're unshakable because we keep that hope in view. We don't allow ourselves to be carried away by grab, like the Bible says. You know, you keep your eyes set on it, okay? Now, these five items, the honesty, the humility, meekness and lowliness of heart, the faith, and the hope, the five of them are defensive armor. So when Satan comes against us, they take the brunt because, you know, Satan doesn't knock and say, Tuesday, are you free? I'm coming at 12:30. Be ready, please. Come. And then when you come, I'm about to come. Oh, does he do that? He just comes, go. So they take. Yes, he's a thief. That's why he says he's a thief. So he comes unawares. But if your armor is on, you will stand. Because the armor takes the brunt. So you feel it, but you don't feel what you should have felt. And then you are now able to use the offensive armor to attack him and cut short the attack and the damage that he wants to do. Amen? And that's the offensive armor. Look at the offensive armor. Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that makes us able to walk in love. All right? And 1 John 2:5. You know, the word of God that enables us to walk in the love of God. And then, of course, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In this, we're talking about praying with tongues and travail. You need travail in this day to really birth the Christ. It is that pushes Satan back, causes of the attack, and causes all things to work together for our good. So every time he comes, it works to your advantage. Every time he comes, it works for you. So he's actually helping you along the path of your destiny. Give God a clap of me, amen. So don't, you need to understand that Satan is working for God. I said Satan is working for God. He's on God's payroll. His idea is to push you until you get the glory. Then you come back and deal with him. Amen. Even now, you will still deal with him. Because on this side, we must be dominant. We will reign. That glorious church will reign and rule. Amen? So that's the will of God for us, brethren. All right? And it's very important that we have that mindset. You know? So how do we do this? Because when you talk about putting on this armor, how do you put it on? It's by the frequent and fervent watching and praying. The pastor has taught us over the years, over and over again. And these instructions are coming fresh. And they are coming with urgency. So we must do it fervently. We must do it frequently. Amen? How do you do Deuteronomy 6 to 7? You know, once every 6 hours. Very important. At every opportunity and in every temptation. And this is where we need the relationship with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. You fellowship with God. Talk to him in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit will prompt you. He will remind you. He will tell you, use this time now. Even though you plan to use another time. So you may set your phone on hourly beep. And it says, do it now. Do it then. Because he knows what's coming ahead. That time you won't do it, you won't have the time. So just do it now. So you obey. And that's that way you keep, there's an unbroken flow of the power of God. The light of God. So you remain a child of the day. You are a child of the day. So you cannot sleep. The people that sleep in the night will be awake in Jesus' name. All right, so verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Amplified. Thank you. Amplified. Yes, let's read together. For God has now appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us
to condemn us, but that we might obtain his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Next verse. Who died for us, that whether we are still alive or are dead, at Christ's appearing, we might live together with him and share his life. The Bible says that I have come that they might have, and what have it? More abundantly. Now, the goal of Christianity is to keep having life. It's not enough to have life and stop. We must have life and then keep working out to have it more abundantly. That's the goal. And we run that race because the purpose of God is that life must flow into our from our spirit, into our soul, and into our body. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse further down, verse 23 and 24. We see this. This is the will of God and the purpose of God. Let's give it to me. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. This is what God appointed us to. You must keep that appointment. You are going to keep it in Jesus' name. You have an appointment to preserve your body and your soul and your spirit blameless. And you're going to get there at the appointed time. On time, with the glory in Jesus' name. So when we cleanse that nature of the devil out of our soul and our body, so that we are now spirit, soul, and body is the full of the nature of God, the love of God. We perfect the love of God, length, breadth, depth, height. We come and receive the fullness of the love of Christ. Amen? All right? We enter that fullness, and then God gives us the glory. You know, and then we inherit the glory. That is. So he's saying that this is what God appointed us to. He didn't appoint us to wrath. So how come some Christians will be suffering wrath? It's not our portion, but how come? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Give it to me in the NIV. So you can see what brings wrath is dishonesty. It's dishonesty. So anytime a person chooses to walk in deliberate suppression of the truth, you're being dishonest. Look at what the Bible says. The wrath of God is what? Being revealed. So it's an ongoing thing. It's being revealed from heaven against all godlessness. Talks about ungodliness and wickedness of men. If you say, I want to stay here, I am not going forward, you are asking for wrath. We will not ask for wrath in Jesus' name. But he's saying, because God has laid out the whole plan. Then you say, I don't want that plan. No, of course, there will be mercy to protect and for some time, giving you time to change your mind. You know, but you can't stubbornly stay there and say that, no, I'm not going forward. This is what the Bible says. The wrath of God is revealed. You know, against the ungodliness and the wickedness of men who do what? Suppress the truth by their wickedness. That word suppress. So the truth is known, but it is pushed down. We push it. We will not suppress truth in Jesus' name. All right? But that's what he's saying. Next verse. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Next verse, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from things that are made, so that men are without excuse. That's why the wrath is coming. So we will escape the wrath in Jesus' name. All right? So this is why we now set our affection on the things above. We set our hearts on the things where Christ is. Amen? And we begin to pay the price because we understand that there is a glory to inherit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's read it together, brethren. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Amplified. Thank you. Right, let's read it together. Therefore, we do not become... Very important. We not become what? Discouraged. Utterly spiritless. Exhausted. and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day.
Next verse.
For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of beyond all.
Give God a super hand. Hallelujah.
Beyond all measure. God is telling you that the glory cannot compare.
Let's continue.
Excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculation.
What calculation have you made?
God is saying that he has a joker that will close this card game and make you forever a winner. There is no way you did that. There's nothing else that I can play. When you get this glory, he's saying it surpasses all comparison and all calculation.
There is no wisdom, understanding, or counsel against the Lord.
So he's saying that if God is saying that, look, just continue, you are going to get this glory beyond measure, excessively surpassing all comparison, all calculation, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Hallelujah.
God is telling you, you are on the winning side.
And you are winning right now. It may not appear. So you don't look at the appearance. Look at the things that are not seen. That's what he said. Look at this, because the things that are not seen is where the action is at. Amen. That's where the action is at. So we look at that. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, then has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. It will cancel everything you have paid, you have given up, you have lost. You are going to get it back. You are going to get Mark chapter 10, verse 30. In this life. 100-fold to the point where you'll be like, Oluwa, truly, this one surpasses my calculation. It surpasses my expectation. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God. So we're going to see the glory of Joseph, the glory of Daniel, glory of Elisha mixed together in one person. You. That's God's will. Political miracles, economic miracles, social and physical miracles will be done in this life. It's worth it, brethren. It's worth it. With that glory will come dominion over death. Doesn't mean you will not die, but it means that you will determine when, how, where, how, everything is between you and God. It's like I can't come in and come out. Not in this day. It's the day where the church is dominant, where the church reigns. Amen. That's the will of God. And all the promises God has made you come to pass. Even right now, we can see it coming to pass. You know? So this is the will of God for us. And of course, we have, at the end of it, is the transformed mortal body. That body that he says is decaying. Even that body that he says is decaying. No, the Bible says that, lest that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead in this mortal body. Philippians 3:13. So it means that even that body that is decaying, as you are praying and giving life for others, you know, and your body is feeling it, I'm feeling weak. The Bible says that a day is going to come where God will come because of when you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. But no, mortality will come and be swallowed up by the life of God. He pay you back in your body, pay you back in your circumstances, pay you back in your family, pay you back in your workplace. Pay you back in your car. He will give everything back. Good measure, press down, shake it together, run it up. Give God a clap of. That's the God we serve. He doesn't owe any man. Faithful God. Verse 11. So this is what God is doing in our midst, brethren. Look inwardly at the Christ in you, getting stronger. Keep your eyes on that. Amen. Relationships are coming alive. As you pray every morning, relationships are coming alive. God is doing breaking yokes, like it said in Jeremiah 30. Bursting bands, removing veils, you know, divine protection. Satan can't touch you. He can attack, but he cannot kill. It's not because your life is not in his hand. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Try getting there. You can't get there. Amen. All right. So we see God moving, healing our bodies. So we see a measure of the promises being fulfilled. as we look inwardly. Amen. So we know that God is faithful. And if we see this blade, if we see the air, certainly there is a full corn. That's what God is saying. No, so we are making divine connections with the right people at the right place. No, those things mommy says every day, we should exercise faith in them during Good Morning Jesus prayer. Right people, right time, right place. Divine helpers. You know, the destiny helpers will come and you God will connect you with them. People that will take you further. Take you in. Amen. So let's stay in the cyber upper room where great measures of power and glory are being released. Lives are being transformed. Hearts are being awakened. Amen. Homes are being built. Very important. Okay? So we attend church regularly. We attend prayer meetings in church. We keep practicing instructions. We grow in obedience. Keeping our eyes on the kingdom. That's the will of God for us. And once we get all this and all the other things are added. So brethren, let's be encouraged. Mom was praying again this morning from Romans. You know, about Abraham. I went to check it. And when Father's talk, it's good to check it. You know, I felt so encouraged. And I want to share it with you. Look at Romans. Thank God for our fathers. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Thank God for our fathers. You know, each time, each prayer is new. Each prayer morning is new. It's fresh. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Give it to me in the Amplified. The same way Abraham, a 100-year-old man, 99, he gave birth to a son. A woman was 89, gave birth to a son. God did it. How did they do it? Look at it. Verse 19. Read it together. That's the word, sir. How did they do it? Everybody say faith. Say faith. Say today, my faith must not be weak. My faith is strong. Let's read together. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. He refused to consider it. Satan said, be reasonable now. Consider this. Yeah, this is where you are now. Consider, just consider the situation. He refused to consider it. He deliberates, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. When he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Devil brings the hope in this life that is not yet manifested and says, give up now. It can't work. It can't work. Nobody has ever done it before. Just like the virgin conceiving. Nobody has ever done it before. But say to yourself, be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. Hold on to the word of the Lord. Say it to yourself. That's what he's saying. It says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver. Doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So let's begin to thank God ahead of time. I am a victor. I have the victory. I am more than a conqueror. In that situation, you call the things that are not as though they are, and they become. And take it to good morning. When they say personal prayer, sharp, quickly. Don't let them say it again. This is my prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4. God do it. And watch God move. And turn the situation around. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. God has given us great promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. And he's backed it with an oath. He has sworn by himself. What's your problem? Choose to look at what God is doing. It's a choice. It's a choice. Satan will say, be reasonable. Refuse to be reasonable. Hope against hope. Use the spiritual hope to dump this physical hope that is not there. And replace it. So you have a hope. And then begin to rejoice. Though the fig tree does not blossom. Though the wine does not move, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God wants to encourage us this morning. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Let's talk to God. Bible says whether we are here or whether in this life or in heaven, we should be with him. Keep your heart with him.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence, and I don't want to worship from above. Oh, draw me near to where you are.
I just want to be.
I just want.
It's a prayer. Sing it as a prayer.
Oh, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Oh, I want to be where you are. Let's raise up our right hand unto the Lord as an act of faith, a left hand on our hearts.
Pray unto Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent this morning to remind me that your thoughts toward me are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring me to an expected end, that every situation that I am in is with your knowledge, with your understanding, and you have prepared a way of escape. Thank you for the hope of the glory that I have in this life, the hope of the resurrection after the rapture, the hope of the things in this life. I hold fast to those hopes, and I war a good warfare, putting on the whole armor of God, so that by faith, hope, and love, I press on to inherit the promises you have given me, backed by the oath that you have made, like unto Abraham, in Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray in the spirit. Rasakatandea, mapabakokea, rapakandamasa, jeprekeko bakanababadanto, miyandabadanto, bataga, jekanababadiko, bolebebeli foria, robobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobob
Barea, Robo, Barial, Menedevesa, Shange, Baro, Ba, Saka, Sekalebedico Lemona, Minadobocode, Roni de Benica Calebotecana, Mapa Bato, Ronevesta, Jeffrica, Bella Leveria, Rombacasse, Jeffrica Lemona. In Jesus' name,